Lawyers, lawyers, and more lawyers, TK.
Yeah,
that seems to be the theme of the week this week. I can't believe, TK, how many lawyers are necessary in order to buy properties now. It's crazy. I mean, it's because of the way that we're doing the equity raise, right?
Yeah.
But the amount of paperwork and the amount of different lawyers that are necessary to do this is stupid. And I say necessary, but when I say necessary, I really mean unnecessary. Like, most of it is so unnecessary. It's ridiculous. But you need the lawyer because the other guy's got a similar lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you both need real estate lawyers because you got to make sure.
A certain way.
Yeah. Everything has to be done properly, right?
Yeah.
Because God forbid, in the event of things going poorly, you're too close, TK. Here, I'll get closer.
I got a deal that's closing at the end of the month and we don't have a lawyer for the other side yet, so everybody's in a big panic.
Don't have a lawyer for the other side for a deal that closes at the end of the month? That's just stupid.
Yeah, so title search date's next week. So, I mean, a lot of the times, I've already provided our side, so a lot of the times the requisition letter just kind of shows up, and everyone's like, oh, I'm representing Mr. Buyer and Mrs. Buyer. And you're like, okay, like, you couldn't just, like, give us some information before, but, you know, all agents aren't created equal, Daryl, you know?
That I think I have made very clear.
Yeah.
That I don't believe that there are very many.
If you think that there is some sort of standardized process or that there is some sort of like prerequisites or, you know, assumed skill sets because somebody carries a license that has the word sales representative or broker after it, you are mistaken.
You are so wrong. You're like as wrong.
You're in
as...
for a real shocker.
Yeah.
You know?
Like the rest of us with regards to interest rates. TK, yeah. I'm just so fixated right now on what all of this madness is gonna do.
Do you know what's the funniest thing though right now is I love what everybody is doing right now. You notice the trend right now?
Which what
all
trend?
The banks, the real estate boards, the Bay Streets, the real estate agent, everybody's coming out with their forecasts. If you're watching this video, now's your time to subscribe. Hit the bell, hit the button, hit the like, drop a
Is
comment.
A ball? Did you say hit the ball? Hit the ball hit, and hit the like.
Didn't I say hit the bell?
Bell? Hit it all, baby.
Hit the button below, subscribe to the channel, hit the like, drop a comment, hit the bell. Why not?
Why the hell not? What are we doing this for, TK? At least do us a favor. Hit something.
Please subscribe. And
well.
Oh, they're good positive forecasts. You see Canada, like our GDP is going to be the best out of the G20 or some shit.
But the forecast for the real estate market is just so much below. Like, doesn't anyone remember when CMHC was forecasting 18% drop when it went up like 30%, you know? Like,
yeah, but look at
and they're
look
supposed
at me
to
now.
Be the ones who know everything. They actually have the data, right? So why do we listen
right.
to the forecasts?
It just took a while.
Why do people listen to the forecasts?
Weren't they right? Didn't it just take like longer than anticipated? And
okay,
some
well
weird
then like
shit
that's like
first?
Me saying the market's gonna double, everybody. It might
when?
Take
when, TK, when?
Look,
when?
It's gonna
quotes.
Double. It's gonna double.
It's
all right.
Gonna double.
It's gonna double. 100%
double.
Increase. Just might take
you heard it here first, everyone. It's gonna double,
right? But it's like each time I open the news or read something, it's always just like TD Economics has reported that this year they're downgrading their previous estimates of a 6% increase in the residential housing market down to 2%. And it's just like, TD, mind your own business, figure it
mind
out.
Mind your own business.
Why
housing
am I paying
is
so
not
much
their
money
own business
to be able to send an email money transfer?
Oh my
you know,
God.
What's really going on when
what
I send
going
email
on?
Money transfer? How much yeah. work was really involved? I want to know.
Starting to wonder if the tellers are real people. They seem,
real people.
Are they?
They might
seem like they're very like,
long.
They're definitely not going to be for
I
long.
Think I'd be nervous behind there. I'd be pretty nervous if I was behind the counter at the bank.
You know, I'll tell
I don't
you.
Want to make any mistakes, any fast sudden moves. You know, when they turn, they kind of gotta. Is this the money that you wanted, sir? You know, just because they gotta keep their hands above their, you know, waist. You know, you never
for
know.
Years, I would walk into the banks and say, like, you know, you're training me to do your job, right? Like, you get that, don't you? And they're like, next, sir.
I don't think like, they got
next
it.
In line, please.
Yeah.
TK.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit going on the planet right now.
There is a lot of stuff going on. Actually.
There's a lot of shit going on. Yeah. I can't even believe it. Like,
we got a new sort of tragic type of scenario in Israel, right?
Yes, it is tragic.
It's like a whole new, like, you know how we were just like, we've talked about this before. Like, well, what if this happens? Or what if this happens? You know, like,
yeah,
nobody was going to call this one, you know, like, even though probably there was lots of signs that might happen again. But there, you know,
a few signs.
Like, you know what I mean? But nobody was just like, this will be the new story that really, you know, crushes people's souls. And I mean, the timing of it couldn't be worse, because I think people are already pretty pessimistic about life itself and the future that the economy brings, right?
But Deutsche Bank said next the US has 100% level.
Chance of going into recession.
100% chance of 100% going chance. Into recession.
Like, couldn't they say 99.9? Like, even the guys, even the hand sanitizer guys to beat COVID only said 99.9%. How do these guys say 100%?
It seems fairly certain that
certain.
Most people are in a recession.
Yeah.
And even if you're not, you're preparing for one if you have half a brain. I mean, I don't know who could possibly be left out there thinking like, good times are here soon. Like, this is going to get better. Everything's
you're not listening to the right YouTube right? channels. Yeah.
I don't know what that
is. Which I've been doing lately a lot. I've been listening to all our buddies because the truth is they're making more videos. There's not a lot of real estate to sell. Are you a real estate agent and you're looking to make a change? Anywhere in Ontario, guess what? We're hiring. Franklin Associates, number one team in the GTA for all RE/MAX teams. Number one team for all teams from all companies for number of units sold throughout Toronto. So if you're looking to make a change, best decision I ever made was to join Franklin Associates. Go to jointeamleo.com and we can set up a call.
Please subscribe and...
Well,
people seem
that's
to be
that's not an insult. That's just like a reality is right now. All agents have a little bit more time on their hands to be able to put some content together. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely going to be an adjustment for some people that has to be made. Otherwise, I mean, how can you go into what? I mean, okay, what are we going into? I mean, look what's going on everywhere. Like, there's a big...
Where do you got to start it, Joe?
There's a big soup right now of things, okay? But, like...
I challenge you to bring something up that I'm not already well-educated on.
Well, I'm glad that you know what's going on in in Gaza there, in Israel.
I'm challenging.
Well,
how does that affect the real estate market?
Well, let's dive into that. And it's going to take a little while to get there. But at the end of the day, you have two really... hot wars going on in the world. At least there's probably more than that, but like two that are highly publicized, I guess, and one that is like really getting out of hand quickly.
Yeah.
Like really quickly. And I mean, TK, I'm sure you're right up to speed, but there is some stuff going on as we're speaking right now that is heavy. Like it is not looking good.
It's like a no mercy.
Everybody has permission from God. Everybody has permission from God on both sides to have this fight, this war, another war. Yeah. So, but what happens? Okay. Let's go deeper than, I mean, it's crazy. It's going to be nuts. I'll be honest. I mean, I've never COVID was different than this, but like yesterday we did not send our son to school. We didn't go out. I told Bailey, don't go to work. If you got to call in sick or work from home, like just, we're all going to just stay home tomorrow, because it's not every day that like the leader of Hamas says, hey, like everybody on this day do this. And nobody knows what this means, but like, if you look around, there are a lot of people that are not pleased with what's going on over there on both sides, right? And this thing is heating up fast in lots and lots and lots of big cities. to a level that is like if we want to measure it against something current, like the trucker convoy, let's say, this is nothing, bro. or that was nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm. The trucker convoy was a prep for, I don't know what, because it's getting heated. People are getting stabbed in Japan. People are getting I right now they're bombing both sides of the argument. I don't even know what's going on. Lebanon's involved and Egypt is not letting people in. I don't know what's going on. It's all of a sudden humans became completely inhumane everywhere.
Yeah. And it's gruesome. It's gruesome. And so just to keep our show about the Canadian real estate environment,
Well, oil is going to go up, I would imagine, because they're already saying if this keeps going, we're not going to sell North America oil anymore. So oil goes up. Now for Canada, oil going up is not a bad thing, right? At least as far as the economy is concerned.
Exporting oil, sure.
Well, I mean, are we not going to be exporting it somewhere still?
Sure, but we also import oil.
Hmm.
Right? So you have
seems
all these other...
Seems stupid if you ask seems, me, but okay, seems yeah. Stupid.
But you have all these other issues that come up when people choose sides, right? Which is... not helping inflation, which is the point of all of this. It doesn't help inflation.
There's nothing.
Certain embargoes can happen. Certain people can choose certain sides. And now that relationship is tethered. So you've got all these different types of issues that countries can have with each other, which affects trade and which affects overall just the sentiment. It just makes people feel uncomfortable. You kept your kids from home from school on a Friday. You know, I got the email from the Toronto District School Board and I sent my kids to school that day, but yeah. There were lots of people who
you're not Jewish though
who changed their yeah, but still things happening are still not good for anybody, right? But people changing their routines and doing things differently causes change in the real estate market. Real estate people, the only thing that we don't like is nothing happening, because when nothing happens, nobody needs to buy or sell. And so when things change, the market could go up, the market could go down, but it means that people are going to have to start to transact again, right? But in this particular case, fear, there's two sides to this now. So one is there will be less people who want to buy because they're afraid, but there will be more people who want to sell because they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are a lot of people right now. I had my own emotional cycle of maybe it's a good time to just cash out of this market and just sit in the sidelines, just wait it around, just rent it, play the market, maybe in a year or two, I'll get back in. But those are the thoughts that I had, right?
Sure.
So if I had those thoughts, I know that some other guy had those thoughts and he's not in the industry and he pulled the trigger and called his buddy. And that guy said, it's a great time to sell. I had a client, who is it? Anyways, I met a new client this week or somebody that I talked to this week. And they said, it was somebody who I work with. She told me, she had a client who, tried to sell their property before, couldn't sell. They didn't like the agent. He didn't do a good job for a bunch of different reasons that we won't talk about. He came and knocked on their door and said, the market's back. It's time to sell. And I said to her, I said, well, ask them if they've noticed any other agents knocking on their door. She says, yeah, they told me that other people had knocked on their door too. So I said, so it seems like agents got a lot of time on their hands now. Were they knocking on their door before? She said, no. I said, okay. Sounds like agents got a lot of time in their hands. So these agents are coming back saying, oh, now it's a good time. So you get the right person who's full of fear. The agent knocks on the door. It's a great time to sell. Let's go list the property. Doesn't mean it's going to sell. Probably it won't sell. They'll probably list the property. But what happens when you're a buyer and you see four houses all listed in the same neighborhood? And the one guy who actually needs to sell, who really cares, is going to look and say, oh my gosh, I'm competing with those three other people. And the buyer says, hey, I got lots of options over here, buddy. If I don't buy you, I'll go buy your neighbor. He's telling me he'll give it to me for 900. And that guy who really needs to sell ends up having to sell for less because of the competition.
Yeah.
It's a downward pressure on prices.
And that guy fucks the whole street up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then if somebody else needs to sell on the street, now they're fucked.
But
and
it's because these people are on the market when they shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, listen, most people aren't sitting on Twitter all day trying to figure out what's happening next in the market, right? Most people are sitting there watching, like, I don't know what the fuck people watch anymore. I guess a lot of people are working.
They have a job. Yeah.
Even when people are working, though, they're on their goddamn phones on TikTok half the time on the company Wi-Fi.
Most people are working. They've got a
job. I think that's kind of bullshit. That's kind of the problem, too.
GTC, you're not on Twitter.
You know what? Some of them are now sitting there with their goddamn phone live on TikTok while they're driving a bus, making extra money.
No, the TTC people are great. Leave them alone.
Everybody's fucked right now. But okay, so hold on a sec. Okay, so oil, I think we both agree, can go up in these kind of circumstances that are going on right now, right? Yeah. Now, also, it seems like food has been going up like crazy. I can't see food prices coming down in this environment. I feel like food will get more.
How do we get the food from the farmer's field to our tables?
Right. So they're already like starting to impose ideas about lowering, I guess, the profit margins of the big conglomerate grocery stores. But like,
good luck.
I mean, inflation is going to take control, I imagine.
Listen, you're not allowed to make any more profits on that food that you're producing. Oh wait, you don't produce anything. You're just taking other people's products and selling them.
Yeah, and then throwing a ton of it.
No problem. We won't make a profit margin. Anybody who wants to sell food at our grocery store has to pay us a fee. There's now a monthly fee to be on our shelves. Right. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we'll take a very small margin. Right?
And you have to send your own employees to stock the shelves here.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is actually a thing. I have friends. The kid works for Coke.
Do you know where the, cinnamon is? And they're like, listen, man, I don't work here.
I don't work here, bro.
I'm like, buddy, you shouldn't wear a blue shirt when you're coming in here then, all right?
Yeah, what the
hell? Walmart, you know, like you're wearing a blue shirt. What do I look like here? A mind reader?
Yeah. Jesus.
Do you know where the cinnamon is?
Yeah, like, do you have any idea?
I'm in a rush.
Okay, so food prices up, right?
Yeah.
So two major factors on inflation are pushing up. Now, we also see wage growth pretty
consistent.
Serious, right? Like, it's getting up. Like, people are making
wage spiral
more money than ever, even though their money's worth
entrenchment
fucking garbage.
Entrenchment of inflation.
And I don't know about you, but like, I don't know anybody that isn't looking for like better people than they have now, which, I mean, their people suck for the most part, or aren't just, you know, like having people put guns to their head saying like, so-and-so is looking to hire me. I'm going to need more money if you want me to stay. While the whole work from home and going back to the office whole thing is going on. But okay, nothing we're talking about so far is not inflationary. Now,
Also, just to add to that is I've talked to a lot of young people in their 20s, just different walks of life. And the ones who have like gone to school, they seem to all be in like web design, IT, coding, development, like
web
that kind of
security
stuff.
Or
things,
what's it called?
Things like that. They all seem to be, I'm not going to, you know, proclaim that
cyber security,
exactly what they do,
cyber
but you know, they have those types of jobs.
Hackers.
And they all have been getting really good job offers, making a lot of money. And I've talked to a lot of them, and they all have like really good salaries and packages and stuff like that too, which is also inflationary, because then you're sitting there and you're 25 years old and now you're making $300,000 a year, let's say maybe 200. And then you're just like, so it's only $8,000 a month for that penthouse apartment. Okay, that's a good deal. You know,
right.
And now you're renting $8,000 a month at this place that you don't really need, because you can pay for it, not afford it, but you can pay for it.
Right.
For now. Yeah. So again, all these things lead to inflation not going anywhere anytime soon, what were you going to segue into?
I'm not segueing into anything. I mean, I still have lists
of inflation,
like items of things that are in the soup.
Yeah.
That we need
to
consider, I think, if we're trying to figure out which way things are going from this, because I don't know what else to do right now other than try and figure out what may be coming down the pipe. That's just kind of how I'm wired. Right.
Here's what the Bank of Canada said.
Yeah. What'd they say?
That the interest rates and house prices are both too high. This is not verbatim.
Thanks, Tiff, you motherfucker.
One of them has to come down.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Guess what's not coming down? Guess what's going up, bro?
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that prices are going down.
They've realized after, you know, 20 years of low interest rates, what people were doing is they were like, hey, I'm going to keep prices low and so that everybody, or interest rates low, so that everybody can borrow, so that housing is more affordable, and therefore it's going to stimulate our economy.
Not only housing.
That amount of money that they're going to save is then going to be put into economy. They're going to buy more stuff. They're going to go more places. They're going to do more things. And that hire more people at their companies, all that kind of stuff. But what they noticed is that over those 20 years, the debt service ratios remained the same. As the interest rates got lower and lower, people borrowed more and more, and house prices went up and up.
Hmm.
So if you made $100,000, you still contributed the same amount towards housing as you did 20 years ago as you are today, give or take. But the debt service ratios weren't changing overall based on what that metric was supposed to do, which was to be able to create more surplus in everybody's monthly budgets in order to be able to spend on other goods.
Using unrealized fake bullshit gains.
Sure.
Right? People borrowed their way to looking like the guy next to them.
This environment, which they now realize was a mistake, and that their ideas weren't in line with, you know, the actual outcome that happened.
Right.
That's the problem. And so what happens when the Bank of Canada says that interest rates are too high and housing prices are too high and one of them has to come down? How are they going to lower interest rates?
Mm-hmm.
How can they? Look at all the things we just talked about.
I don't see an environment where they can lower interest rates unless somehow all of these things. Okay, so hold on a sec, though. So while all this shit is going on, okay, we've got lineups of people waiting for horrific jobs that nobody really wants, but those are the ones that are advertising as available that most people have the skills for. Okay. Because we're bringing in a lot of people that their only skill is that they're a student, right? Their only experience is that they were born, okay? So
I'm familiar with Microsoft Word and PowerPoint.
Yeah, Excel.
I need to maybe work on it. But Microsoft Word and PowerPoint.
I have YouTube, though. I can learn anything, and I'm willing to learn anything. And I took a course, and there's this Indian guy who's willing to teach me for $5 a month. Okay, so there's that, and that doesn't seem to be slowing down. So we've got this strain on the public services by this overload of humans, okay? So we see the government reacting in ways like they're definitely looser on planning, and we see them buying your property in Whitby for an extra $5 million 8 months later to house the homeless.
The housing fund, the federal housing fund, gave Vaughan like $50 million.
To make like five houses.
Housing accelerator
right?
fund.
Like
it's like for infrastructure mansions. near the thing. Oh, I think okay. No, there's a couple thousand in there. Yeah, a couple thousand houses that are gonna be coming out of that.
Listen, they're gonna build some houses somehow at some point through this stuff. And where will prices be
there's
at that
$4 billion dollars in that accelerator fund.
Yeah, but like divide the cost of a house by $4 billion and you see that you are not making a dent in anything
at
all.
That's a lot of houses.
How much is the average house to build, TK?
Well, they're not going
to bring out
the money to build. They're going to let everyone else build it. But like, just like, you know, give them a bunch of tax breaks and, you know, bring in infrastructure stuff. $4 billion goes a long way.
It goes away. It goes away. Yeah. But when you bring in so many humans and the market is already stretched so far and the services are stretched so far, I mean, like, go get something done right now. And more people are needing the system and more people are needing healthcare and more people are needing everything because there's just more and more people. I mean, this is just, I would love to hear an argument with this, but this will cost the government more money is the point. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around that. Right. Like, but because but 4 billion doesn't go far.
It sounds good,
but there's a big problem here.
Might
right?
Get 50,000 houses, maybe, you know, off the ground.
So, but while they're trying to stimulate all this stuff, all of the developers and all of the builders, not all, but most of them are like, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out for a bit and see what happens because these interest rates are not favorable, and I see them getting worse, and the spread on this deal is evaporating, and I'm nervous, so I'm just going to wait a while, right? Then you got some crazy guys that are launching right now, probably because they have to.
They have to.
Right? But some of them not because they have to, for sure, because they bought it so well and they're in a great location.
What they say and yada, yada, yada. But that money could be used for something else. And they said, you know what? We won't have as much of it, but we're going to buy some great properties.
Some of them I would agree. But then when I see companies like Centerpoint who like blow it out in Pickering while everybody else is dying, and then I see this other launch coming up with Lifetime Developments and Diamond Corp, I think like those guys don't need to worry. So those guys must know something or have something that they think everybody's going to want. And those guys are pretty goddamn smart. And I would guess that they're right, that they have something that everybody's going to want right now, because there's investors that really want to put money into things. We see that, right? Like people really want to put money into things that
tons of money out there. It's crazy.
But they're reluctant, and it takes a little bit longer to get that money out of their hands. But there's a lot of money waiting there. But I don't know why anybody would launch. But anyways, there's a few people launching. But for the most part, like, construction is stopping. Unless you're in the middle of construction and not going bankrupt yet, because you've got your funding and you're good to go, and somehow you're on budget and you're not going to need more money at some point soon, then okay, fine. Or you're just so well funded that it doesn't matter and you're keeping the wheels moving on a project here and there.
As long as you've budgeted for carrying the property, you know, like your Forest Hill deal, that's all part of the equation, is, you know, carrying the property. That's literally
high interest rates are built into the whole deal.
Yeah. Like everybody who ever lost the property. So right now there's a lot of bad debt out there. There's a ton of bad debt. I was already dealing with a receivership property on a commercial loan for a development site. And then you got all the Stateview stuff. And, you know, there's other ones that are
Sunrise now.
I bet you if you were looking at some of the Canley documents, you'll start seeing some cases that are in the courts right now for commercial loans being recalled and companies being put under receivership for development sites. The amount of bad debt that's out there right now is higher than ever. Like, I don't know in Canada if we've ever had a situation like this, just because of how fast prices went up and then people started borrowing. Now prices have come down. The loan to value got eroded. The variable rate mortgages that these commercial loans are on are now, they're not able to carry them. So there's just a ton of those situations. It's just the market conditions. It's impossible for there not to be.
And people that shouldn't have been in those loans to begin with. I mean, forget about the market conditions.
I heard a good quote is, this was on Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger's video this in the past couple of weeks. So they said, when, you know, the market collapses, you know, the buildings will still be there, but the owners won't.
The owners may not. Yeah.
Okay. That's what happens. So all these sites are, whatever it is, it's going to be like,
it'll that be built. Site,
it's going to happen. That building that's owned, it's not going anywhere. We're not losing things. It's just the person who owns it is going to
take a little longer. The person building may change. The people that have put in their deposits might get fucked. Whose performa, but that's okay.
Three, four years ago when they were buying the land, whose performa could have possibly predicted this environment?
Oh my God. Now
nobody's.
Hmm.
I don't care who you are. No, you were not.
This is a tough one.
And so if you couldn't all of a sudden raise some more capital because you had this great site that was going to work, you're screwed. And so now you've got no choice but to be able to sell your site, and someone's going to pick it up for a good deal. So that's why there's a lot of money out
there.
People are
going to pick it up for a good deal.
Waiting for good deals.
We're going
to
get to that, TK.
And the new deals that are coming up right now, the new things that are launching, the new purchases, I want to talk about multifamily too, but the new land deals, they're obviously, they understand the environment a lot better. So they're, you know, the deals can pencil out because not many of them, but they know how to at least make it work because they know the environment.
Some deals can pencil out and most some deals move forward, and lots of deals are not happening right now.
But
right?
I'm just saying the ones that do right now.
No, but this is great. But this you're adding to the stew here, TK, because less supply is coming online. Not only the stuff that's like being held to be built that has permits right now, that's going to have some kind of a little gap effect and create a little trench in the charts or whatever. Okay. Right. But on top of that, there is going to be a gap in getting permits because everybody isn't transacting on land. Or I guess there's probably a lot of applications in right now that have not, the land hasn't transacted, but the development is moving forward. And at some point in a couple of years, when the permits or the zoning happens, they close the land at some price that was decided 2 years ago. You know?
Yeah.
But so a lot of things aren't transaction, and I'm pretty sure that there's a gap, but there's a hell of a lot of people out there that will tell you, oh, like, where's your housing shortage now, dummy, right? Like, it looks like there's a lot of housing to buy right now.
So let's just say we weren't on a housing. Let's just say there was no such thing as a housing shortage.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just
say we had just, we're even.
Let's just say we had just enough houses to fit all the people who currently live in Canada.
Today. Even the people in tents.
Even the people in tents.
So anybody who is
on this side of the Canadian border right now, let's just assume.
House for you. House for you. House for you.
We have enough houses for everybody. Because everyone thinks we're short, but let's just say we have just the right amount. Whatever.
Just the right amount. Are you running for mayor?
Super hard to calculate. I'm just, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Are we not increasing the population?
Can we both run for mayor simultaneously?
I think that would be the first time that the Canadian, we
could
just start
the
show.
The show will run for mayor.
If we increase the population, so if we're even now,
okay,
and we increase
even
the population,
everybody has a home.
Do we need to build more houses?
And we're bringing in more people.
We're bringing in more people.
How many people are dying? What about death?
We're bringing in more people than we're sending off.
Sending off. So it's a surplus.
Net, yes. Net
to me, population growth. Hold on. Let me do some math here. But to me, it seems. I hope I'm not looking foolish here, TK, but it seems to me like we would need more homes over time.
Okay, more homes. Good. We need more homes. Now, if in the past we were able to build a certain amount of homes in order to keep up to get to that even amount of properties that we have in Canada, right? Mm-hmm, so whatever that number is based on immigration patterns, birth rates, all that, we had just enough homes for everyone, which is, you know, we're not in a housing supply crisis. We're just enough. But now we're building less homes than before. And we're bringing in more people. Now, will we have a housing shortage?
It sounds like the answer should be yes.
Right? Like, there is no way that anybody can possibly deny that we're going to have a housing shortage. Even if they say right now we're even, there's still going to be a housing shortage.
But they're going to slow down the immigration now because nobody's going to want to come.
That's a whole other factor that, you know, everybody can theorize on. But I was just talking to someone in the last 3 days who told me that Canada is still regarded as a very safe place to live. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but there's some pretty bad things going on in the world that, you know, maybe a few muggings on the TTC pales in comparison to. Mm-hmm. So I think overall, Canada is still going to be a place when everyone says, well, it's so expensive and it's so cold and the government is so like, boring, and everyone thinks that they're just
but you're alive, idiot.
But you're alive.
You're alive.
You're gonna live a good life. A lot of people value that. I don't know. It's just like staying alive instinct that we've got built into us. So, anyways, long story short is we've got a really strong case here for a housing shortage. If we weren't in one already, now if we were in one already, Daryl, what does that mean?
We're gonna get further into one. Okay, like it's a deeper.
I don't know when. But it's coming. Like, geez, look at the writings on the wall.
So, okay. So now let's add this into the stew that we're making. And this thing is like looking like, I don't see an environment where prices on things get cheaper.
Ever.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need all of this housing, eventually they're going to figure out a way to start housing, even with high interest rates. I got to think. Mm-hmm. And if the only tool against inflation is interest rates, but like all of these things aren't going to get funded by the private sector only, right?
We got
they will eventually, I guess, I suppose. But like,
build sewers.
Maybe. I like
to run some.
Well, see,
natural gas lines.
This to me ends up being the natural conclusion, right, is infrastructure and houses for everyone, right?
Yeah.
How that happens, I don't know.
Well,
I have no idea.
It was about to happen.
It was.
But now the RCMP is now investigating all those MZOs.
It's so funny that you're saying that. So I'm like writing out my theory this morning, okay? Yeah. And me and ChatGPT, we're having a blast, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to formulate an opinion on what this is going to do to things, right? And of course, I'll be completely fucking wrong because, I mean, if 3 days ago or whatever, if I was doing this last week, like this whole Israeli thing wouldn't be in the stew at the moment, right? It wouldn't even be on the radar, at least for me. I'm sure there's people out there going like, I told you this was coming.
Any day now.
Like we knew this red flag event was coming because they want the strip.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on. But what I can tell you is that through my assessment this morning and my research and my deep thought, I was like, they just fucked it up with the Greenbelt stuff because that was the goddamn answer. Because at the end of the day, when you do all this stuff, plus equals, it's government-assisted homes getting built faster somehow by incentivizing developers to do it. And hey,
with cheap land,
better way to incentivize a developer than give them a few billion dollars overnight.
Yeah, duh. Like, this was
but
the most
you
obvious,
have to do this
thing ever,
bro.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
You're right there.
You're right.
Dropped your mic.
So
got
yeah,
so excited,
I totally agree. I know. I totally agree. And now, guess what? We got those MZOs under review, and guess what? All the other MZOs that may have been already issued or were about to be issued now will come under scrutiny. I was talking to somebody today this week who was giving me this perspective, and they were saying, this is another issue for housing starts. We just lost another tool that was just about to create more housing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one thing after the next. And so how gun shy is the Conservative government going to be for the rest of their term in using necessary measures to be able to build housing? It's like, we just got screwed. So
not only screwed, like Doug Ford is going to be in court for like the next 20 years of his life now.
Dougie.
Poor Dougie. These Fords, they really know how to get their feet into things, hey?
Yeah.
Poor guys. Well, listen, I mean, it's unfortunate because if you remember, even going back, I mean, first of all, when we first heard of it, I wish we had somebody that could go back through the tapes and see the response, because it was like, gee, I wonder who owns like this land that just, you know, got swapped out. And then like 3 days later, everybody was like, hey, guess who owns the land, right? Mm. But what the fuck, guys? Like, come on. Like, how else are we going to get stuff built? Like, really? Because, I mean, my deal needs an extraordinary price gap because of the location, right? And turns out that we bought it pretty good, like I thought, but like we got an appraisal for more than we paid, TK.
Better, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obvious to me.
Yeah.
Obvious to definitely not the guy who owns it, right? Or owned
it,
right?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like nobody else realized it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh geez. Yeah. Look, this thing is worth this all of a sudden. Right. Yeah. And honestly, like from the experience with the city, I can now kind of talk about that PAC meeting that we had, if we want to talk about that, because like they're definitely looser on planning now. We got a letter basically saying that they're okay with a little more than we're asking for height wise, like in writing. TK,
which is
this
great.
Is not normal. This is not normal.
Based on
you guys are asking
land
for not enough,
or,
you idiots. You what know, are you doing?
You know, development performance overall square footage is a big factor. So, the more density that you're going to be getting on that land, the more valuable the land becomes.
And what's wonderful is the appraisal came in before we even had that. So that's kind of cool. Because guess what? The appraisal.
I'm sending
wrong
it back
already.
To the appraiser. Yeah. Yeah.
Guess
hey,
what,
Mr.
guys?
Appraiser, guess what? Remember how you said it was only going to be this much? Well,
it doesn't matter.
What about this letter
though,
from the city?
But it doesn't even matter because, you know what? At the end of the day, there's only so much that they're going to lend. I could get an appraisal for triple. They're not going to lend me anymore. It's just their numbers look better on the loan.
Yeah.
right? And I don't need anymore. So what the hell am I going to borrow more for? It seems kind of dumb.
But it feels nice.
But again, that is in the stew. They're trying to incentivize people however they can to build something and to get permits for something. And I'm guessing that the process will take less time than normal. And maybe I'm crazy. And maybe it's because, look, I'm asking if I'm not going crazy. Everybody else is like, this is another thing that's going to fuck up supply. I actually thought about yesterday is all the applications that have already been in for a few years that were this close, all decided, you know what? I think we can get another 10, 15, 20 stories right now. We should resubmit because look what that guy just got. And holy shit, look what they're going for over there. And like,
you'd be crazy not to. Yeah.
You'd be fucking crazy not to. And it doesn't take that much more time to figure out if that's going to fly. And even if you get a few more stories out of the deal, it was probably well worth the effort.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway,
some of those floor plates are like 10,000 square feet.
Some. I mean, the average is like 8,100, or at least if you're doing it according to their design guidelines, which is why most of these towers are just these stupid 90 by 90.
So just for people who are listening, if you have an 8,000 square foot floor plate and you're charging $1,000 per square foot, that's $8 million in projected revenue.
Right. At whatever margin you end up with.
Right. But now you're like, I can get 10 more stories.
Yeah.
So are you, why not wait two more years to be able to get that application through again? Maybe it's only going to be 12 months. Who knows?
Yeah. And I mean, you got to weigh weigh your options, right?
Because
sometimes building
the
10 stories is stupid.
Why that's happening, right?
Yeah. But so again, we got all this crazy stuff there. Now they're actually trying, of course, because it's too late. Like we could have a glut of houses right now, right? For all this immigration we were planning on bringing in. Right. We could have got ourselves in a better position in the last 8 years if this motherfucker running this place would have been honest about any of this shit. I mean, but OK, sorry, I digress. He's a wonderful prime minister and he's doing everything that he said he was going to do. And here we are, TK. Everything's fucking rosy for everybody. OK, so
some people are doing fine.
So for sure, I think. Well, not for sure interest rates have to go up, because when you're at war and everybody's all nervous and things kind of freeze up for a while, the economy stops spending money. And we're already seeing that. Tiff has said like he's seeing slowing in the spending, right? Like we see consumer spending is down. And of course it's down. I mean, every time I go to a restaurant, it ends up with a tweet that gets God knows how many thousands of me just complaining about how crazy it is. Either the quality is horrific, the portions are smaller, the prices have gone crazy, and the service is horrible, right? So this is like number one for most people. It's like, just stop eating out because it's stupid now. Like you're paying so much for groceries at home. You know, remember it used to be like, you would make a decision. You'd be like, okay, well, we're thawing the chicken, but like everybody kind of wants fucking pizza tonight. So like just, okay, fine, throw out the chicken. It's like $9.99, right? Now it's like, don't you even fucking think about throwing out that chicken, because that chicken's like $40, right?
Yeah.
Right? And the beans are like $40 too somehow, right? And the butter's $40. It's crazy. So it's... like whatever's going on out around us is working with people's going, you know what, maybe I don't need another fucking iPhone right now. Maybe I don't need another laptop right now, right? Maybe I don't need to buy that video game for $90, right? Or, you know, tell my kids no every once in a while might be a good idea.
But people don't always make those decisions. And so that's the issue, is that even though the economy right now seems to be struggling, all the signs are there that we should be seeing, the GDP contracting, you know, every quarter, because it's just like, oh my gosh, we're going into recession. People should stop spending all this money. People still have all these type of like hedonistic, pleasures. They want to go, I got to eat all this great food, I got to go to all these great bars, I got to drink all this alcohol, I got to go on these vacations, I got to gamble, I got to do all these things. They're still doing it. But the problem is they don't have the way out anymore, because a lot of people, they had that way out. They had that cheap rent, they had that refinance of the house, they had that good job, all that kind of stuff, they're going to continue to do those things still. And so it just, everything is such a lagging indicator. And we're just going to keep going, and we're going to be milking and milking and milking. And the last 25 years, we just always had a rebound. There was never a time that lasted more than a year or 18 months. And so even if it was a really tough time, if your timing was really poor, then okay, you suffered. But for the most part, you got crushed, you got crushed, you're there, you're hanging on, and oh, I'm climbing back up again. Oh, and then you made back up when you sold this and refinanced that, and then boom, 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 and you're back on track. That's the difference this time, is that if we end up spending years in this sort of like stagnating type of economy where nothing's really happening, you know, we're kind of, you know, GDP is not really growing, immigration is just propping us up, but the GDP per capita is coming down. And, you know, we see that interest rates are elevated. They're not really going up anymore, but they're not coming down. Housing markets is kind of like, eh, you know, maybe prices go down a little bit, up a little bit, but there really isn't any much, you know, excitement to it either way. There's those people will get crushed, and they just won't have an opportunity to bail themselves out anymore. And then it'll be like, I had no choice to sell. Oh, I got no choice to close my business. Oh, I got no choice but to, you know, give up, you know, and it just takes a long time. It just takes a long time. I mean, the okay. History books have talked about these type of things in different ways. And I know everyone says this time is different, but really, like, we've never had this much debt before in Canada. There's just never been this much leverage assets all at one time. And then the interest rates went up as fast as they did. It's just those two factors alone, forget everything else. It's just something that is a recipe for disaster, you know, and unless interest rates go back down right away and we can all get back on to pumping the market and all, you know, being here we go, we'll all link arms running up and down Yonge Street, singing and dancing that, you know, we're going to pump this until it doesn't become our problem anymore. It's going to be a bad ending. It's going to be a bad ending for a lot of people because they owe too much money. And when your payment goes up from $7,000 to $13,000 a month, which there are people out there with that scenario, how long do you pay that for? 6 months? You know, you got a really good job. You got some savings. You got some things that you sell. You sell your rental. A year, 18 months. How long do you pay that for? If $7,000 was already at your 35% debt service ratio, and now you're paying $13,000 and you're spending 70% whatever of your income on a mortgage payment.
Fucking
you
crazy.
Don't stay there.
No, you sell and you lose money.
But you hang on because you paid so much and you're gonna lose money. Now the market's down, you don't wanna, you know, show faith. Like you crash and burn, and it's not a good ending. And it's really tough because a lot of the people that we're meeting right now have those type of situations, right?
Where they just waited too long.
Right. They don't want the advice we have to give them.
Well, and that's why you got all these cottages on the market right now that are just, anybody that's going to be able to buy one of those cottages is sitting there going, I'll just wait a bit. There'll mm-hmm. be more. There'll mm-hmm. be more. I will pick the one I want later, right? Yep. Somebody will be needing my help more later.
Nobody right? buying a cottage or nobody buying a $2.5 million home or more is going to be that foolish.
I think it's lower than 2.5, man. Like,
well, I'm going to use that number, but the main thing is that they've got that money. I don't know how much debt they're going to have. I'd say in a lot of cases, none. And they're not going to be foolish with their spending.
Most people that have a place over $1 million even have probably been stretching themselves to the limit for a while already, whenever the hell they bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, there's got to be a lot of people that are just on the edge, and it won't be their decision. Like, they can manage it. Right. Mm-hmm. And hope that like they outrun the thing. But there's these things. Okay. So here we are with our stew, TK. And I keep coming back to the stew.
Yeah.
Because
what else are we putting in there?
Well, I don't know. This is the thing that you have to do now, because we know what's going on now. We know what's in the stew, but what comes out of the stew when it's finished is what we're trying to figure out.
Mm.
Now,
the soft landing?
There's no soft landing in this stew, okay? Because there's not even a fucking bowl or a ladle. Like, you got to put your head in this thing to get a sip.
Soft landing coming out of that stew.
No soft landing. But
said the condo market's got, it's in a buyer's territory. I'll shout out Tom. I heard it from a couple other people, but I want to shout out Tom. Tom's video said it was like 5.3 months of inventory in the condo market downtown Toronto. That's a lot of options for people.
That's a lot of options.
That's a lot. Yeah. So,
but those options are at how much? Who the fuck can afford them? Because even those shitty condos are at $700,000, $800,000, $1.4 million, right? Yeah. Like, these are not like, and like, these are not like the $500,000 entry level. And even if they are, have you seen what a fucking entry level suite size is now? The bachelor?
Yeah, it's like the size of my desk. But you know what buildings I would avoid is I would avoid the brand new buildings that are just getting built and that have just closed. I know if you're an investor, you're thinking, okay, no rent control and all that kind of stuff. That's great. But just over the last 3-4 years, those pre-con prices really jumped up. And we know that prices did not go up. So 2019 till now, prices are almost the same in the condo market, right? The end of 2019. So you're kind of like, that appreciation that was built into the price isn't there. And so, yeah, you might be like, oh, the guy paid X and I bought it for -10%, or, you know, average resale in this other building that's 4 years old is here and I only paid a little bit more than whatever it is. But those are the ones I would say carry the most amount of risk because they were sold at like crazy prices. And I'm seeing a lot of people list them and they're just sitting there because they're investors and they weren't projecting the interest rates and carrying costs. But like, what do you really get?
These, listen,
yeah,
2 years ago, right, when I was buying, I anticipated rate hikes. I anticipated that my mortgage would go up 200 basis points, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I planned for because I got duped into that they were going to be low for a long time. I figured that I had the 2 years, right? And I locked in at like not a low price because of my employment status, right? And how I do certain things. I had to go to a B lender. So I figured I would end up somewhere around where the market should be, which I thought was like 4.5%, right? 5%. But now here we are, and I'm thanking my lucky stars that I got a rate hold at like 6 and change. Okay. Mm. And so my forecast got blown out of the water by 30%, right? Which I can absorb, but like, it's again, it's like, how many people can absorb that, right? I got lucky. I started at a higher base, right? Some people are starting at like 1.25, ending up at 7, or who knows where this thing stops, because I don't see a scenario unless, okay, so let's just say the stew, we don't put anything else in the stew. We put the lid on and we let this thing simmer. I think we end up with like rates that just kind of stay around where they are. Maybe they go up a quarter point and down a quarter point and they hover based on what's going on around us. Cause like, you got to be an idiot to not think what they've done already is going to have a huge impact. And we haven't felt it completely yet. And we're just starting to feel it all over the place. Things are starting to break for sure all around us, right? Like if we're on one of those bridges with the ropes, like they're snapping now. Okay. And the bridge,
good sound effects,
right? The bridge is getting
really,
a little,
you know, I really felt like I was in the movie there. Like I was on the bridge with you.
It just happened right behind you. But so the bridge is starting to come apart. Right. And so that's what the currents do. Right. But like, I don't see this whole Gaza, Palestine, Israel thing simmering down anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take any like ingredients out of the stew. If only thing, it adds more.
I don't think we've seen the results of this yet, because if you come back to what we were talking about at the beginning, when you have millions and millions of people, right, that are pro both sides in the streets. And now this is like not about a vaccine. Okay. This is not about the prime minister. This is about God. Okay. This is about religion and land. And this has been simmering and brewing and exploding for decades, almost a century, maybe more than a century, maybe thousands of years. I mean, who the fuck knows what the hell's going on? Okay.
Yeah.
Like the,
I think Jesus long was enough, at some point.
But long enough that everybody's fucking pissed. Yeah. Right. And you cannot condone anything on either side when it comes to people dying for this shit. Like, I'm sorry, I don't care.
Yeah.
None of this is
nobody
good.
Should be dying.
Nobody should be dying fighting over this.
Nobody,
what are we even
right
fighting
to kill
for?
Anybody.
Who the hell even knows what they're fighting for?
The Canadian Real Estate Show does not support this war.
No, but the resolution has not happened at all. And listen, maybe it's just like an idle threat that there's all these people that could just like wake up all of a sudden in all these countries and do some crazy shit. But even if there isn't a plan for that at some conspiratorial high level, you get enough of these people in the streets in enough places and shit is going to happen. Okay. And people will claim that it was for God or it was for Allah or it was for Israel or it was for Zion or Zionism or whatever the fuck. Right. But like, we haven't seen it. And that's going to have an effect. So what happened last time when they parked interest rates at the floor? What was the catalyst? I think it was 9/11, wasn't it? 9/11 mixed with the tech boom, stock market, .com, everything exploding mm-hmm. simultaneously. So I don't know. Like, what did that stew look like back then? Mm. Right?
Are you saying?
Well, what if something happens in the States?
Interest rates may go back down because of all the uncertainty in the world?
I don't know. But that's got to be somewhere in the kitchen.
Is the war in Israel going to save the Canadian real estate market? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that at all. Okay. But I think that is a possible scenario, yeah. Right? Yeah. Because when things that big happen, the markets stall and they freak out. And what happens when the market freaks out? It crashes. And we mm-hmm. see crazy shit happen, right? And mm-hmm. everybody tightens up and everybody
said at the beginning. I'm pretty sure I already made this point.
For sure.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. There's going to be a lot of change because people are scared.
Because, now it's they're scared. But I mean, yeah. How are we going to feel?
But we're going to
I don't even know what's going on right
we're
now.
We're
going
to have to go through some stuff in order to be able to get out to the other side. And that's the
serious stuff, though. This is not typical stuff.
And this is not, and people dying is not a joke. And it's like, it's bad. And like 9/11 and Ukraine and
TK.
Now in Israel, these are major things.
No, but these are major things. Just, okay. Yeah. So we're supposed to go to somebody's bar mitzvah tomorrow morning. Okay. At a synagogue. And we're like, do we really want to be in a synagogue right now? Do we? Because mm-hmm. things are like stupid. And I don't know. I don't want to be at the wrong synagogue at the wrong time just to go to a bar mitzvah. I mean, that's just me. Maybe I'm crazy. But like,
whose bar mitzvah is it?
Like nobody that I've ever even met, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. It's like my wife's friend. But I don't want my wife to be at the synagogue, especially without me. So, but this is what we got to think about at the moment, which is unfair and ridiculous in 2023, that mm-hmm. these are the thoughts people have to have. And these are pathetic little thoughts compared to, what are these, have you seen the videos of these poor kids in Israel and in Palestine, like on both sides? Like, this is mm-hmm. fucking crazy. And I know that's gone on forever and ever. And like, yeah, it's coming more to everybody's attention right now, but like, they're dropping fucking crazy bombs on buildings, man, all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I don't know, but like,
it's
that,
something that's what
that
for sure.
is going to be
something.
The catalyst for yeah. whatever the fuck happens next. Not, right, like whatever the however this plays out, whatever the next thing is, right, is gonna determine what happens with these interest rates.
Mm-hmm. And then just there's a lot going on at the same time. We've got now a second war. We got huge inflationary pressures. We got the Saudis talking about what they're gonna do with their oil production. We've got.
We've got Chinese tanks making the way towards the shore there near Taiwan.
You got the Taiwanese-China conflict. You got Country Living, the big developer in China, basically saying we can't pay our foreign
Country
debts.
Garden or something?
Country Garden, yeah. We can't afford to pay our
offshore
foreign debts.
Offshore foreign debts,
right?
Yeah.
The rest of them maybe will maintain, right? But yeah. No promises. You've got a ton of geopolitical issues. We've got BRICS. We've got so many different things that's creating this sort of there's no clarity, right, in the future. There's nothing that can be predicted right now. So that's, I'll go back to my very first point, because we're going to wrap up the show, and it's Why are all these institutions coming up with all these forecasts? Where the heck are they getting the guts to claim that they know what's going to happen over the next 12 months? Like, it's insane. Now, some of the forecasts will say, you know, we're going to be changing our 2023 year-end forecast to, you know, XYZ, because it's already happened. And so it's like super easy to forecast the next 60 days based on what's already happened, right? But in January, they said this, and now they're going to say that. So it's like, well, duh, it's 10 months later. Of course, you know a little bit more about what's going to happen this year, right? So sometimes those are the press releases that they make. But Canadian Real Estate Association, they got an agenda. Toronto Real Estate Board, they got an agenda. REMAX, they got an agenda.
Who doesn't have an agenda? It's everybody like, how releasing do you balance this stuff the is agendas? Like,
I love when I read things from the stock market people, like, what's that lady's name? The ARK investor, the tech.
Kathy.
Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, I love when I read, like, it's just like, these tech stocks are all going to be, no. Obviously, you're going to say that. That's how, you know, you're going to get people to be able to invest in what you got all your money in, right? Like, there is no reliable sources, including me and you, Daryl.
Especially you and me, right? TK.
There's no reliable sources out there. You got to just look at the information. You got to take it with a grain of salt. You know, understand that nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. And that everything remains the same. It's likely that those type of situations could happen if somebody gives you a good enough story. But if one of those variables changes, the outcome changes. Therefore, that person is completely off the hook on what their forecast actually was.
And completely wrong, all at the same time.
Well, we didn't know that people all of a sudden would start wanting to buy real estate again. Yeah. We didn't know that.
You mean all those students need to live somewhere too?
Those people, all wanted to buy real estate again, so they paid more. That's why prices went up.
It's crazy.
They didn't want to buy them so bad, they probably would have never happened. But one thing is for sure, Daryl. If people don't subscribe to our channel, they're going to miss the special content that we put out. When we put it out, it doesn't happen often, but there's some special. There's notices, there's messages. So just look down. If you see a little button on your screen, it says subscribe. And like, it's like black and you haven't touched it yet. It means you haven't subscribed.
Is it black when you haven't subscribed to something?
Well,
I think it's red, TK. What are you doing?
Well, no, sometimes it's black. But is it really? It's a button and it doesn't like show that you've already subscribed. So hit that button, hit the bell just while you're at it. You're already clicking.
May as well hit the bell.
And then the like button. And then, you know, if you want a little bit of dialogue between Daryl and I, drop us a comment.
I feel like I didn't get back to everybody this week.
I love the comments. I like hearing from everybody's.
It's where I learn
comments. Really?
It's where I learn how to ignore people.
I read every comment, Daryl, and so do you.
I do too. I enjoy the comments. Some of them I have to just.
The longer the comment, the less likely that it will be thoughtfully replied.
Logical.
No, but you know, like keep it to like a few sentences.
Or just quote the show. That's the best. When you like timestamp something good that we did,
that's the best. Then I can, because I don't remember what I just said over the last hour. Who am I, a robot? Then I can actually look at the timestamp and be like, yeah, you know what? I do sound like an idiot.
That's right. Oh my God. That's okay. I said that? Really? Yeah. What was
I don't even agree with this. It was 2 days ago. I don't even agree with myself.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, TK, things are exciting around here. We're on our way to 6,000 subs. We have a new employee.
Mm-hmm.
My son is now our social media manager and editor. Yep. Look at that. Very exciting. Hopefully you couldn't tell already that we've made the transition. We've onshored the labor.
We are supporting offshore. Canadian people. Okay. Born and raised in Canada, underpaid. And, you know, employed. That's
absolutely.
That's what we
overvalued.
Do. Yeah. Overvalued. We got a ton of value. A
lot of value for Aiden. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you once again, Mr. TK. Pleasure talking to you. I feel like we didn't get anywhere.
No.
But I feel probably
much
a
love
little
to
bit
the people
worse about
Israel
myself
going
right
through
now.
That. And I hope
it's
all gets resolved.
Yeah. Hopefully when I check my Twitter right now, I don't see more horrific scenes. I can't even believe this. I gotta throw my phone in the garbage.
I gotta go to the next tournament.
Good luck.
I'll see you
go,
next
go go beat somebody up for whichever side you're on.
I'm on the good side.
I'm on the good side.
Please subscribe and
well